Scenes from a War Zone, written by Zombified Queer and read by K-Burb. This is a Locktomb fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It is tagged with slice of life, domestic fluff, Pira DeVay is a good parent, cuddling and snuggling, and literal sleeping together. There's a certain way someone breathes when they're asleep. Just by looking at Nona, Pira DeVay knows the kiddo is not asleep in the slightest. She's curled up in a position that makes Pira's back ache in sympathy. Her breathing isn't deep enough, and the kiddo keeps opening an eye, checking to see if Pira sees. Grinning to herself, Pira DeVay knows she's weak for kids who pretend to be asleep to get carried to bed. Closing the cupboard softly, like she's afraid to wake Nona, Pira mutters, "All right, kitty, time for bed." Nona, to her credit, does a good enough impression of someone sleeping. But she's smiling, and that's her giveaway. That grin that outshines the blue outside their apartment. Hands on her hips, Pira sighs. "Oh no, dead asleep, huh? Then I guess I'll have to carry you." Turning over lets Nona hide the fact she's almost laughing. And it's easier for Pira to scoop her up, cradling Nona's head in the crook of one arm. Nona goes limp in Pira's arms, still smirking like she's won a game. Which, in her defense, she has. Carrying Nona into the bedroom, Pira lays her out on the bed. She tucks her in, the thin sheet drawn up to Nona's chest. Not too high, not enough to upset her. Resting a hand on Nona's head, Pira sighs. "Good night, Big No. Sleep tight. Don't let those dogs bite." She leans down and kisses Nona's forehead. Then Nona actually goes to sleep. Crown makes herself at home at their table, arm thrown over the back of the chair, but she's pretending to be brave. "All I've got is cold coffee," Pira offers, knowing not to baby crown him with many crowns. "Is it good coffee?" Pira laughs. She pours Crown a cup anyway. Before she serves it, Pira gives the last of the milk, nasty powdered stuff mixed in water, a sniff, and deciding it's not bad yet, adds it to the cup. Then she serves it. Crown cradles the cup. "Milk?" "Need your calcium," Pira counters. But Pira knows. Crown's early 20s, trying to sound more mature, wise, everything. Pira knows Crown was third house royalty. And Pira knows she was like Crown, too, once. Scared as hell with her badge still shiny and new. It's going to be hell on Crown. This is a real war. The end of everything Crown's ever known. Pira takes a seat at Crown's side. Not across from her. That'll scare her more. Just close enough to talk softly and, if Crown prefers, just exist in the same space.
"Nona's at school?"
"Yep. She loves it."
"Learning a lot?"
Not so much. She likes feeling useful, though, and it keeps her calm.
"Good," Crown nods. "That's good."
Crown sips her coffee and makes a face. Pira chuckles.
"Bad coffee, I take it."
"It's better than those dehydration tablets," Crown defends. "A lot better."
"You'll get used to it." And Pira doesn't mean the coffee at all.
It cost 20 of the cigarettes Pira rolled herself, and one of her two bottles of moonshine, but Pyrrha holds her head up high. The cassettes are tucked safe in her dust jacket's inner pocket. Everyone wants them, it seems. Any piece of technology to leave a record or a broadcast costs almost as much as meat. A mean trade, but Pyrrha understands. Still, cigarettes and alcohol always have a value, even at the end of the world. Taking the stairs at a light jog, she makes her way to their flat. Before stepping inside, she knocks. It puts them all at ease. There's the click of locks and grind of the chain being forced open. Pyrrha winces. It'll need oiling. Or she'll have to take it off the door. You're home late. Camilla, then. Pyrrha slips into their flat and kicks the door closed before shrugging off her jacket. Had to make a quick stop. Kiddo? Taking a bath. Good. Reaching into the inner pocket, Pyrrha produces the little box of tapes. Here, I know you're running low. Camilla Hecht freezes. How much did these cost? Don't worry about it, Pyrrha soothes. Used my own vices. Camilla looks at the box like it might bite her. Pyrrha gives it a little shake, encouraging her to take it. You should be saving those for buying meat. But Camilla takes the box, tearing the tape with her nail and opening it. Thank you, though. Meat's on the list. I promise. Pyrrha defends. In the dark of their bedroom, someone rests their head on Pyrrha's chest. She only half wakes. By now, she's used to the way Nona thrashes enough that Pyrrha prefers to sleep alone on the couch. But tonight's an exception. She reaches over, giving the shoulder of the someone cuddling her a squeeze. There's a grunt, and Pyrrha knows it's Palamedes. Go back to sleep, pal, Pyrrha mumbles. You'll wake the kitty. Was wondering if the eggs were still good? His voice is thick with sleep, meaning he woke up, rolled over, and cuddled up to Pyrrha just to ask. She tries not to laugh, but can feel herself grinning. For another day or two. Good. Palamedes makes himself right at home on top of Pyrrha's ribs. I'll handle breakfast. Like hell you will, Pyrrha tells him. Cam's obsessed with recording everything. Can you blame her? No, Pyrrha can't. She wishes she had all the time in the world to tell them all about what the world was like before the resurrection. At least, the pieces she can remember. They need to keep an eye on Nona and her progress. No need to eat up tapes listening to an old, sad woman. Pyrrha? Last time you mentioned dingoes. Tell me about them again. Here I thought Master Warden never forgets. Maybe I want to hear you talk. You'll wake the kiddo. Please, Palamedes asks. For me? With a sigh, Pyrrha makes herself comfortable and recounts until they both fall asleep. The end.